and why were you among the few members to vote against the sales tax?
During the period of time in which I was in the legislature, Louisiana was blessed with an abundance of natural resources, including oil, gas, sulfur, and so forth. I did not support a sales tax when campaigning, and the governor campaigned against one. After the election, the governor told us that the state was to be run efficiently and that the severance tax on oil could be reduced. Taking him at his word, we voted a reduction of the severance tax. It wasn't long until the governor was asking for a sales tax. Many of the legislatures did not want to vote for the sales tax, and the governor realized that the vote would be close. There was a great amount of oratory from the podium on the subject before the House when the bill was called for consideration. The gallery was packed, and there was no standing room left behind the ropes that separated the spectators from the members of the floor of the House. The vote was called for. The green and red lights flashed on the board of the voting machine. Mr. Lee Laycock, clerk of the House, jerked the sheet recording the vote, automatically canceling out the lights on the board. Frustrated because I had not had time to determine who had voted for or against the bill, I rose, was recognized by the speaker, and I asked for a roll call. There was a commotion down in front. Earl Long had jumped over the ropes, advanced to the clerk, and snatched the sheet from his hand. The sergeant at arms quickly escorted Mr. Long back to the point from which he came, but not until Mr. Long had scanned the sheet. The roll was called, and it was learned later that some of the legislators had not voted on the machine. After the episode, I was looked at askance. Some people actually thought Mr. Long and I had planned what had occurred. I did not even know that Mr. Long was in the crowd. That experience did not endear me to those who had not voted on the machine either, for they were forced to vote when the roll was called.
How do state legislatures of today compare to those of 1940 to 1944?
Comparisons are always odious. It has been said that people do not change. Sometimes I think they do change with the times. In order to answer that question with any degree of intelligence, I would have had to observe our present-day legislators at work. There is one observation that I have made. Most of our present-day legislators are money-oriented. They are money-oriented during elections and after they take office. I was disappointed when they voted to double their expense allowances. And I dare say that even those who voted against the raise are now accepting it. Times were very hard in 1940. Times are very hard now because of inflation. But it's my belief that the 1940 legislator had more respect for the taxpayer than the present-day legislator has. In 1940, the state legislator was paid $10 per diem while in session only, and 5 cents per mile for 3 trips home during a session. We had no expense allowances. We knew what we were to be paid when we ran and when we were elected. The attitude and the actions of most of our present-day legislators are certainly increasing voters' apathy at a rapid rate. The public relations people of today study what the electorate wants, and they build up the candidate accordingly. But so far, they have not learned how to conceal all of the records of the elected official. The bills that I authored and sponsored that were enacted into laws appear in the statute books of the 1940 and 42 sessions of the Louisiana State Legislature.
You have told me, Mrs. Moore, that after the adjournment of the last regular session of the legislature to which you were elected, you and your sons, Waldo and Charles, joined your husband, who was then on duty with the General Staff of the Army at the Pentagon, Washington, D.C., and that the family resided in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yes, that is correct. I wrote to the governor, giving him my address and asking him to notify me if an extra session of the legislature was called, indicating that I would return if such a session were called.
While living in Alexandria, did you meet any national figures?
Yes, I did. I met Mr. J.C. Penney, Mr. Henley Fowler, Secretary of the Treasury, Dr. Alice Paul, one of the leaders of the suffragette movement and author of the proposed Equal Rights Amendment to the United States Constitution, Honorable A.S. Harrison, Jr., Governor of Virginia, and his wife. I served as chairman of the Women's Committee of Alexandria to elect Mr. Harrison. As public affairs chairman of the Virginia Federation of Women's Clubs, I met presidents of the National Federation as well as many prominent Virginia women. I secured the Honorable J. Lindsey Almond, Attorney General of Virginia, to make a statewide radio address on the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution. Excuse me. As president of the National Order of Women Legislators from 1962 to 64, after serving 6 years as treasurer, I met many prominent persons in the various states and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, among them the Governor Minos Marin and his wife. I met Mrs. Bess Truman and Mrs. Mamie Eisenhower, the wives of former presidents. In 1956, the National Community Conference held a four-day session in Washington, D.C. Mr. J.C. Penney served as chairman of the conference, and I participated in the program. We became friends, and it was my good fortune to receive from him autographed copies of all the books that he had authored. It was in this year of 1956 that I received my B.S. degree in social sciences from American University, Washington, D.C., after having attended night classes for a long period of time. Of all the outstanding persons whom I met while away from Louisiana, Dr. Alice Paul remains in my memory as a person of beautiful character, great determination, and fine intellect. She spent her life for what she believed were the rights of women, and she died working for the passage of the proposed Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution, which she had authored. That's it. And then this is.
Since you've returned to Shreveport, have you made any efforts on behalf of the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment in this state?
Yes, I've tried to persuade our legislators to vote for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment during the 1972 session. I sent each member of the House and Senate a copy of the proposed amendment together with a list of the states that had voted for its ratification and a list of the states that had voted for ratification of the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which gave national suffrage to women. Louisiana was not on that list. When the amendment was proclaimed August 26, 1920, in the 1972 session, the proposed ERA amendment was passed by the Senate only.